one coming from the epistles of the Hebrews, You have your Bibles with you?
Sorry.
Please turn to the first chapter. Hebrews 1. Amen. And the reading is, starting at the first verse, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers and by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by his word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majestic on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels spirits, and his ministers the flame of fire." But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And your Lord is in the beginning laid on the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain, and they will all grow old like a garment." May the Lord have a blessing upon those who have heard this word.
Amen.
Good morning again, New England.
Good morning.
I have the distinct pleasure of introducing our speaker for the day, the Reverend Nathan Mitchell, Jr. He will be bringing the word to us. And what you need to know is just my job is to tell you a little bit about him, his bio. And so reads, Reverend Nathan Mitchell is a native of Roper, North Carolina. Since his calling to the ministry in 1997, Reverend Mitchell has dedicated his life to preaching and teaching the Word of God. He is the fourth child of the late Nathaniel Mitchell Sr. and Marion Dickerson Mitchell. The family consisted of seven sisters and one brother. Reverend Mitchell's earlier pursuits in life afforded him the opportunity to join the U.S. Navy in June of 1972, where he spent 26 years. After retiring from the U.S. Navy in September of 1998, he joined the U.S. Postal Service, where he now serves as a manager, customer service in the city of Virginia Beach, Virginia. Reverend Mitchell is a graduate of Plymouth High School in Plymouth, North Carolina. He earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in Religious Studies from St. Leo University. On May the 14th of 2011, he received a Master of Divinity degree from the Samuel DeWitt Proctor School of Theology, Virginia Union University. Reverend Mitchell is a Bible-believing, God-trusting, and God-fearing servant of the Lord. He leans heavily on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Reverend Mitchell is currently serving as an associate minister at Gethsemane Baptist Church, Newport News, Virginia, under the leadership of Dr. Dwight Riddick. Reverend Mitchell is a family man and devoted husband of his helpmate, the lovely Evelyn D. Norman Mitchell, who happens to be with us today in a beautiful purple. Amen. They are the proud parents of four boys and one girl. So after our choir delivers our hymn of preparation today, we have the honor of being able to listen to Reverend Dr. Nathaniel Mitchell Jr. Hear ye him.
Thank you. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on and put those hands together. And bless the wonderful name of the Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised this morning. Come on and put those hands together and bless his holy and his righteous name. He's been good to you. He's been better to us than we have been to ourselves. He's a mighty good God and he's worthy to be praised. Come on and bless his name this morning. Our God is a great God and a great King above all gods. We are thankful and grateful this morning to be in your mighty presence on this great Lord's Day. Count it a privilege and a joy that you have allowed me to stand behind this sacred desk to preach and teach God's holy word. We do honor the Spirit of God, our Father, to his Son, Jesus Christ, to the imminent presence of that paraclete, the Holy Spirit that moves so mightily in our midst on this morning, to Pastor Tapscott, Reverend Johnson, and we greet you this morning in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To the leadership team, deacons, deaconesses, and trustees, we greet you this morning with the joy of the Lord being our strength on today. To our worship leader, God bless you. To my wife, bless you. Thank you. To this music ministry who has sung, ushered us into the spirit of the living God. To the ushers who stand upon their pulpit. To all of God's people, we greet you on this wonderful and joyous day that the Lord has made. Yes. We have come rejoicing, yes, and being glad in it. Yes. For we know that God is a good God, yes, and he's worthy of all our praise. Yes. We thank God this morning. He's brought us all from a mighty long way, yes, and we are grateful and thankful for everything that he does for us each and every day. We could be flooded out, but thank God for his grace and his mercy. And we stand with the sun shining. Our homes are still intact. And we are grateful and thankful this morning. So we owe it to the Lord to come and to bless his holy and his righteous name. Praise the Lord. God is good and worthy to be praised. May I call your attention this morning to Acts, the third chapter, beginning at verse number 1. Acts, the third chapter, beginning at verse number 1. Acts, the third chapter, beginning at verse number 1. Amen. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. Thus begins the reading of God's word. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew that it was he we sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Amen. Word of the God for the people of God. From that pericope of scripture, I would like to lift up a subject this morning. Moving from lameness to walking and praising. Moving from lameness to walking and praise him. Pray with me. Gracious God, our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Savior, here as I stand behind this sacred desk to preach and to teach your holy and your righteous word, I pray this day, Father, that you will send that anointing upon me that makes preaching and teaching relative easy. Father, I pray that you will send that anointing, Lord God, that opens up the ears of thy people that they might hear what thus says the Lord. Father, we bind this spirit in this unkind spirit in this place today. Oh God, that you will bind it in the name of Jesus. God, loose your anointing upon these, your people. Almighty God, that they may worship you in spirit and in truth. Give your name the glory and give your name the honor. Give your name the praise. Give thanks to you for being so gracious and so kind. Fathers, we come today. We love you. We praise you. We magnify your holy and your righteous name. We lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. It is in the name of Jesus, who is our Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, people that love the Lord, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Walking, moving from lameness to walking and praising. My brothers and my sisters, as we gather today, we find ourselves faced with many challenges in this life that we've never experienced before. These challenges seem to stare us in the face. We tend to think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, that we can just change some things, we'll be okay. But the truth is life can be tough every step of the way.
Amen.
Sometimes in life we lose sight of what's important because we are always looking for something else. So when life difficulties hit us smack in the face, the devil can oppress us with a feeling of hopelessness and defeat.
Yeah.
It's during those moments that we remember who Jesus is, that we are children of the King. We must look to Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God as Lord and Christ. Even though Jesus isn't with us physically, we have access to him through his name.
Amen.
There's no name like his.
Yeah.
But there is power in the name of Jesus. There are many today that find it difficult to believe and trust in the Lord to meet and to supply all of their needs.
Well,
perhaps it might be difficult to imagine persons that do not believe in the resurrected Savior.
Yeah.
But it's simply because they have not been taught about the Lord.
Yeah.
When I look at this, it reminds me of the way my family grew up, and in like manner, many of your family.
Yeah.
Good morals and godly principles
were
taught in the home.
Yes.
Such things as being respectful, saying yes sir and no sir, yes ma'am and no ma'am.
Yeah.
Parents would remind us that our actions away from the home was a direct reflection upon our home life.
Yeah.
We were taught to be respectable in all avenues of life. Looking back a few years ago, we had no choice in the matter of attending church. We knew it was Sunday, and that was all we needed to know. There we had the responsibility to make the necessary preparations to get ourselves together for Sunday morning, where we found ourselves in Sunday school learning about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We're living in a time where Bibles are absent from the home.
Yeah.
Bible verses are never heard in the house.
Yeah.
Prayers are not prayed.
All right.
We all remember how grandma and granddad had such a love for the Lord that everything they did in the house was done in the name of singing at gospel hymns and pray.
Amen.
Everyone remember how grandma used to bless the whole house with a singing of amazing grace.
Yes.
How sweet the sound.
Uh-huh.
Precious Lord,
yes,
take my hand.
Yes.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Yes.
All our sins and griefs to bear.
Come on.
We all remember how granddaddy used to pray those long prayers to the whole family.
Yeah.
Could not help but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ,
yeah,
and be convinced that it was nobody but Jesus that made a way out of nowhere. I'm not talking to anybody this morning. Today, when we look around our community, we find so much wickedness in the life of people. They actually consider it the right way of living.
Amen.
There's concrete evidence of our not believing in church and serving the Lord Jesus Christ, as demonstrated by us getting up on Sunday morning, preparing to cut the grass, wash the car, go to the beach, or hang out in the park, going to the gym. Sunday is a good day. Hanging out in the mall or any place, but coming to church to give thanks to the Lord for his many blessings. We as a people seem as though we continue to turn our backs on the Lord and no longer believe in serving him. We truly do not believe that everything we have is because of the goodness of the Lord. My brothers and my sisters, God seems to have been placed far down on our priority list until a need arises. That's when we find ourselves merely begging, when we ought to have a spirit that causes us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us believe that through Jesus we have been made successful. We probably would have never achieved our goals if we had just merely begged and did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The delivering hand of the Lord provides for us nice jobs, good education, beautiful home, money in the bank, closets full of clothes, and all the nice things that we have been blessed with. God has been so very good to us in spite of ourselves and what we think. It has been nobody but Jesus who has blessed us in a mighty and tremendous way. That's why we praise him. That's why we come to tell him thank you. It was nobody but Jesus that moved us from the cotton field to ownership. It's taken us from the projects to the suburbs, from struggles to equal opportunity, from the back of the bus to the front. Our belief in God has brought us a mighty long way. How can one not believe in the delivering hand of an almighty God? You got to trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. On today, my brothers and my sisters, I wonder, how can all of us get to the next level? How can we move from lameness to walking and praising? Our challenge on today is to move from that crippling condition and rise up and walk. Might I suggest to you that if we are going to move from lameness to walking and praising, we must pray.
Amen.
In our text today, we find ourselves shortly in a period after that magnificent day of Pentecost.
Thank you.
Peter and John continued daily with one accord in the temple fervently and persistently praying.
Yeah.
Peter and John gathered together in unity and harmony to pray and to study the Word of God.
Amen.
Sharing material possessions, they reveal not only relationship with each other, but their total reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Jesus works through those who his disciples just as he works through us to reach out and touch those that are lame and those that are lost. His presence and his power are still at work, available to his people.
Yes.
Peter and John were faithful prayer warriors.
Yes.
In this ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon,
yes,
they went up to the temple to pray.
Yes.
This was a time to communicate with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Prayer is our direct communication with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Prayer is our direct line with heaven. Prayer is a communication process that allows us to talk to God. He wants us to communicate with him,
yes,
like a person-to-person phone call.
Yes.
The Jews observed 3 stated times of prayer. The 3rd hour, 9 a.m.
Yes.
The 6th hour, 12 noon.
Yes.
And the 9th hour at 3 p.m. Peter and John were men of prayer. Could you imagine having 3 specific times each day set aside for prayer?
Yeah.
Could you imagine that on one of those hours each day, you had to come to the temple and kneel before the altar and pray?
Yeah.
Not just praying while on the run, while going about our daily affairs,
right,
which is what we so often claim and use to salve our conscience.
Yeah.
But just imagine on today, my brothers and my sisters, having 3 set periods, 3 consecrated prayer times,
yeah,
3 prayer sessions, a time when we can shut the world out and focus solely on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Believe that prayer can change some things.
Amen.
Believe that our God is a prayer answering God.
Yes.
Believe that God will give to us whatever we ask of him. A prayer life is one thing that will help us move from lameness to walking and praying.
Amen.
Are you with me? Not only must we pray, secondly, we must enter the temple.
Yeah.
We need a place to worship,
yes,
the Lord.
Yeah.
We are lame just as this man at the gate called beautiful if we never enter the temple.
Yes.
Not lame in a physical sense, but in a spiritual state.
Amen.
And we need to get into the temple to experience the liberating and transforming power,
yes,
of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Here as Peter and John approached the gate called Beautiful,
yes,
on the way to the temple for that daily ninth hour of prayer, they find a lame man,
yes,
lying at the gate called Beautiful.
Amen.
He asked alms of those going into the temple,
well,
not those that were coming out, for folk thought they could catch the attention of God if they gave when they went in.
All right.
Think about this poor crippled man, over 40 years old. His parents never saw him take a step.
Uh-huh.
He could not share in the games of the other children.
Yeah.
When he came to adulthood, he was unable to work, so he had to beg. Put yourself in the beggar's place. Can you feel his despair? He can go nowhere without help. He relies completely on others. All he can do is ask for handouts. His only purpose for living is survival. My brothers and my sisters, all you see is this crippled man. You have missed what the Lord wants you to see. All of the miracles were given to teach us spiritual lessons.
Yeah. Yeah.
The lame man represents fallen humanity.
Amen.
We were all crippled by the fall. There are moral cripples, emotional cripples, mental cripples, spiritual cripples, all because of sin. Sin cripples everything it touches.
Yeah.
Our society is crippled with its crippled marriages and crippled relationships.
Yeah.
Our society is crippled by perversion.
Yeah.
Abortion continues to claim innocent lives.
Yeah.
Pornography continues to destroy homes.
Yeah.
People are crippled by alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
People are crippled with negative attitude, anger, hate, resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness. Only Jesus Christ can bring us the healing we need. This man, over 40 years of age, must have been placed at this gate daily for at least 25 years. That means those who came to the temple regularly saw this man open.
Yes.
They asked, why didn't God heal this man?
Right.
It is not God's will that all be healed. And two, God could get more glory through this man being healed by Peter and John. This healing gave Peter and John the opportunity to preach the gospel, and many were saved.
Yeah.
Peter noticing the lame beggar is evidence of the Spirit's ministry. Peter and John may have seen this man many times before and may have contributed to him before. But now, Peter saw the crippled man's life as God meant for it to be. Whole, sound, healthy, and vigorous. Or within in the presence of the Lord. Wanted to do something for him. Peter looked upon him with compassion, and he saw a life that Jesus could touch and transform.
Amen.
This man needed the touch of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This crippled man needed to see Jesus. No doubt the crippled man had heard about Jesus, his teaching, his healing, his death stories, about the empty tomb, the ascension from the Mount of Olives, the 3,000 who were saved on Pentecost. He had heard of Jesus, but he needed to meet him personally. Here, the lame man focused his eyes on Peter and John as they passed through the gate called Beautiful. On the way to the ninth hour prayer meeting in the temple, Jesus works through those who fasten their eyes upon the need.
Yes.
On this particular day, this lame man must have realized that this was his special day, his defining moment day. Expecting to receive honor, Peter said, "Look on us."
Yeah.
And the lame man expected to receive some precious gifts from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." The beggar must have thought, "That's a poor joke to play on me. Could you find something better to do?" than to make fun of a crippled man. Peter once again said, silver and gold have I none. In fact, the beggar probably had more money than Peter. One thing we must understand, my brothers and my sisters, is that there are some things in life that are more important than money. Our health, being happy, our acceptance with God, and love. What is it to have all the materialistic things that the world can offer and find no joy in your life? All the money in the world cannot bring about the joy that the Lord can give unto us. Peter told the lame man that silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter took him by the hand and lifted him up. The power belongs to Jesus, and the hands belonged to Peter. Silver and gold would have only satisfied him for a day. Then he would be right back at the gate, begging again. Jesus does not expect us to give what we do not have. Most of us do not have the gift of healing, but we do have something precious to give. The gift of prayer, a listening ear, and compassion. Peter and John did not take any credit for this miracle healing. This was done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man stands in the temple. Are you with me? To move from lameness to walking and praying, not only must we pray, next we must enter the temple. Finally, my brothers and my sisters, one last thing that will help us come out of our crippling condition and move from lameness to walking and praising is we must expect to receive. This lame man was satisfied having an expectation to receive the gifts that he begged for. Never expected to go into the temple or receive a healing. The first place the man who was healed went was to the temple. With great joy, he entered into the temple, a place which he had been excluded because of his congenital deformity. Notice his spirit of discernment. He was not praising Peter. He was praising the Lord. He was grateful to Peter, but he glorified the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people saw him walking and praising the Lord. What a testimony he must have given. Can you imagine the move of the Spirit of the Lord at this prayer meeting? I was lying in the dust and heard in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And in a moment, I was changed. It was a full-grown mirror who walks perfectly the first time, who is able to leap and jump with his first step. He had never stood in his life. Yet, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he could walk. When he walked out of the temple, right past the beautiful gate, he probably glanced at the spot he had been in and thought of all the bitter memories he had experienced in the past. But no longer, I have been healed. Without Jesus, we are all cripples. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, yes. There is spiritual healing.
Yes.
He give us power to move from lightness to walking and praising.
Yes.
God is able and willing to provide an unexpected blessing to each of us as he continues to work in all of us and using those he have called to perfect the ministry.
Amen.
I am so glad today
that
there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus that will make a lame man to walk. There's power in the name of Jesus that will make demons tremble. There's power in the name of Jesus that will turn our life around. There's miracle working power in the name of Jesus. There's wonder working power in the name of Jesus. We can find joy in the name of Jesus. My God is a mighty good God. Is there somebody today that needs to hold on to his unchanging hand? Is there someone that needs to receive healing in the name of Jesus today? Is there anybody that is in need of a change in your life today? The Lord wants us to quit begging on and rise up and walk. Come to the prayer meeting expecting to receive a blessing. Peter and John were just ordinary folk, just like you and I. But as they acknowledged their calling and labored before the Lord, he blessed them mightily and magnificently. So for us on today, our challenge is to help those that are lame to rise up and walk, believing in our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior. Come into the temple that we might lift up Jesus.
Amen.
He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. There's power in a lifted up Jesus.
Amen.
When you lift Jesus up, there's power in the church. You want power in the Sunday school? All you got to do is lift Jesus up. You want power in Bible study? Lift Jesus up. You want power in the community? Lift Jesus up. There's power in our finances when you lift Jesus up. Tell somebody about the true and the living God that supplies all our needs. Tell somebody that on one dog Friday on a hill called Calvary, they took their Lord and my Lord. They stretched him wide and they hung him out. They took a spear that pierced him in the side. They took a crown of thorns and put upon his brow. He died on Calvary. They placed him in a fiery tomb. He stayed all night Friday. All day Saturday, all night Saturday, but it happened right here, early Sunday morning, with all power in his hand. He got up and ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Not just sitting there, but sitting there making intercession for you and for me. Is he all right this morning? Is the Lord all right here? What a mighty God we serve today. He's worthy to be praised for the rising of the sun that is worn out of the sun. Won't he do it for you? Won't the Lord do it? Won't he work those situations out for you when your money is right? Won't he make a way? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it for you? Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. God has been good to me, church. He's brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. He's given me everything that my heart desires. And I will trust in the Lord all the days of my life.
Yes.
What a mighty good God we serve.
Yes.
Bless his holy and his righteous name. Yes. Moving from laying to walking and praying.
Yes.
May God bless you.
Yes.